listening to Pastor Jerry talking about what experience we had in the Outer Banks. But it was the same thing when I came back. My anxiety picked up because I thought about what I had to deal with when I had to go to work this week. I was like, I know my job phone is blowing up, and I know these kids about to go back to school, and I'm going to have to go through all of this stuff and meetings. And Pastor said something to me. He said, son, seek ye first the kingdom. I'm going to tell you, we got an apostle, guys. And as soon as he said that to me, everything went away. Heaven began to open up. And I'm like, great, thank God, I feel this thing. Now I went back to, like Pastor Jerry said, I'm not coming down, but I felt myself coming down. But God said, no, I'm about to elevate you back to the place where you belong. And that's what's been happening with us, is we getting back to the place where we belong, where we truly belong. And it might seem like situations or things might come into play. But, I look at Pastor Javen when she talked about putting on that belt and all of that. But she, when she put that on, it's just like her eating at that table. She's eating at that table because she's eating patience and long suffering and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it don't taste good. It don't taste good. See, I had to deal with my job. See, it didn't taste good at the table. See, we get excited when we hear these things, but when you really got to sit at the table, see, we talk about it behind these four walls and we get excited about it. Until what you just said, somebody rub us the wrong way, we're going to get up from the table, or we would like to get up from the table, and we have to defend self. But God said, no, I want you to get you a nice, comfortable chair. And you know, he said, the food that we're eating from this table, it's not even going to fill you. See, you know, when you eat natural food, you eat so much, you're like, oh, my God, I'm stuffed. You can't get stuffed eating at this table. Because it's not from the earth. This is, again, where he's talking about that manna from heaven. It's that manna. It's something different every time. But when you eat it, that's a transformation that takes place on the inside of us. That's the elevation to where God wants to take us. It goes back to even last week. Remember when Pastor was talking about last week before we left, and he was talking about Genesis? And he was talking about the fact that in Genesis 1 and 3, where it's talked about man in the evening became day. What it says, did give me John 1, Genesis 1 and 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Look at this. And God said, let there be light. So what God had to do, God had to bring something into existence to take away the darkness. Look, there's a place within us where we have to say, I want this more than I want anything else. The substance of this light, when God said to let it be, it became a reality for us as his children. Why? Because he was trying to get us back to a place where we belong. Because all our life, I was thinking about it. I said, Lord, you know, even when I was a child, I had to go stay with some foster parents. And even as a foster child, they told me, my brother, they said, look, get in the car, in the back seat, and lay your head down, because we don't want you to see where you're going. So we get in the car, Now, me and my brother at the time, that, as Pastor said, there's no good in us. There was no good in me, my brother, at the time. So as we was riding in the vehicle, they took us around the block. Took us around the block and said, okay, now you at your foster parents. We gets out the car like, oh, we right around the block from where we live at. And the thing was, the enemy always try to get you to get do something that don't even make sense. Why would you tell us to lay down and go around the block to get to a destination that we are in the same community? But that's how the enemy do us. He tell us, go around the block in darkness, and we accept it. We'll eat it up. We'll say, no, this is good. So now I'm thinking, okay, so now I got this new family, and I'm going to be connected to these people, but the people never received me. But then light had to come in, and when light came in, I began to see something different. And one of the things about darkness and light, and this is one of the things we had to understand even from the Outer Banks. Of all the things that have been manifesting itself, this is what happened. God said, look, I have to turn your evening into day. So the only way I can do this is we had to see a light to get us back to our original state. So now what we've been settling for is the light that we see in this room. See, right now we call this the light. The light is on. But if I take this light and put it in your eyes, it's bright, right? So how do you get a light with the light already on? See, something had to happen that you had to have an encounter with something greater than what you already know. So God said, no, I have to shine a light on you so you can see the difference between this light that you see in the natural. Because this light here still tells you in the darkness. Because we settle for the things that the world offers us. Think about it. Again, get a good education. I know so many people that got master's and doctor's degree and looking for a job. Not only that, they got all these degrees, but yet they in financially debt. Because the world of this life told them that this is the way. When God said, I could come and just shine a light on you. I could just shine a light on you and change your whole DNA that make you get up in the morning and say, I'm going to the post office and change my address. Why? Because now I'm from a different place. It has to take place from the light to get us to understand what God is really doing. We've been bamboozled for so long doing the same thing, but yet we're still missing the fact that where we really belong. Why keep selling for things of this earth that has no value? Think about it. A car, no value. Soon as you drive it off the lot, value gone. Look, I'm gonna get real. Even our kids, or as we would call it, I'm going to go back there. I know but they're not our kids. We learned that. But look, even our children, we pray and seek God and say, oh, God, we want kids. I want this. I want that. As soon as God gives them to us, what do? Hold on. Look, first thing we do, we say, oh, I want to have a dedication service and give it back to God. Right? I want to dedicate them, but the reality is we never dedicate them because I'm still going to keep them to my bosom. So, God, I'm going to do the performance of darkness. I'm going to do the performance of darkness because this is the tradition that Pastor Jerry was just talking about. Why keep doing the same thing over and over and over? And then we tell a lie and say, look, I'm going to give them back to you, Father. But yet we don't teach them. We don't pray for them. We don't do any of the things it has to do with heaven. They don't even know their address. There's no light. We ask God for a house. Oh, God, give me this house. God said, okay. Even in the darkness, I give you a home. I give you an apartment. I give you this thing. How come 2 months after you move in, you're looking for somewhere else to go? I recall a time when I said, man, I can't wait to get this promotion at my job. I said, you know what? I can see myself having my business card and all of this stuff. I'm going to be the man. As soon as I got the position, I said, oh, Lord, what in the world I got myself into? Now, exactly. So now I'm saying, okay, first I said it was a blessing. Oh, God done blessed me. I done got promoted and this and that. I got my own office and da-da-da. I got a company's car. I'm doing all these things. Until my boss don't like me. Until my co-workers start talking about me. Then I start saying, oh. What a catch. God, you got to help me. God, deliver me from this. Oh, God, get me out of this place. Oh, I got to put it on Facebook. I got to go to work today. Oh, God. Oh, here we go. Y'all pray my strength in the Lord because, you know, I got to deal with Michael today. All of this stuff is still darkness. No lights. We keep telling ourselves these things and still nothing produced from what we want. Me and Shanique was riding around, I think it was Friday. And we're looking at a lot of the beach homes and stuff. And every time I saw some nice houses, and I was like, man, the person that owned this place, I wonder how they living. Not in the natural, but how are they really living in the spirit? Is there satisfaction because of a light from heaven or what their hand produces? I think about what Jesus had to go through when he had to get tempted in Matthew's fourth chapter, when Jesus had got tempted and the devil kept saying, look, I give you this, I give you that. Two things wrong with that picture. Number one, everything was created for him and by him, so it's already his. Number two, Jesus knew where he came from, and he knew the reality of, because he created it, he knew it was minute to the things that he have in heavens. I don't need the things that's from below because I'm from above. You look at that picture, you see that light. Always going to shine in darkness. And that's why I want you to understand that light shines in light. Because a lot of times we try to bring our own light. I created light. But just like Saul on the road to Damascus, what blinded him? A light from heaven got his attention. And change his whole DNA. it's a matter of time when we see and recognize the things of heaven that has to be more value to us than anything else that we can even imagine. It has to be something more greater that's coming from a different source than what we can even think that we could put our hands on. Everything tangible has no value. So getting back to the children, what we have to do with our children and say, understand the fact that, no, they belong back to God, not through tradition, but because that's the reality, because I want them to understand their destiny and not have to live by the peer pressure of this world of trying to fit in. Oh, I got to fit in. You can't fit in where you don't belong. John 8. Listen to this. And when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Who's the light of the world? Whoever followed me would never walk in darkness. See, look. If we walk under this light, we don't have to worry about no more darkness. And our minds can't wrap around that. But see, that's why it has to be a spiritual connection, that what that light does, it takes you from A to B. But we'll have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. See, we're going to get challenged when you try to identify about this light. Where are you? Appearing as your own witness? Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I come from and where I am going. Do you know today where you come from and where you're going? No, think about it. Jesus already know. He said, I know where I come from and where I'm going. We only see that as when I die, I know I'm going to heaven. When I die, I know I'm going to see my grandmother and my father, my cousin, by and by. We should know where we're going now, because I can go there now. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. Listen, you judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are true. Because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me in your own law. It is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies of myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Listen, this is what we got. This is what we graduating to. Is that we have the authority now because of the light, that only thing we should be doing is what we hear the Father say. The only place we should know where we're going is because the Father's sending us. Look, then they're going to ask, where is your Father? Now, again, think about this. This is not talking to the people of the world. This is talking to the Jews, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the people that know, sort of know about who the Father is and all of this stuff. So they still asking Jesus, who's your Father? We can ask that question to ourselves today. Who is our daddy? You do not know me or my father, Jesus replied. Pastor, when I think of that, I thought about what you just said about you had something you could say to somebody. Last year, you had said something sharp, right? So now she's only going to speak what her father tell her to speak, not what she want to say to try to get back at somebody, to cut somebody with her tongue. So now she have a different language. Why? Because now she know who her father is. Why? Because she know that she's not from beneath, she's from above. Other witnesses is the father who sent me. Then they asked him, where's your father? You do not know me or my father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the places where the offerings were put. Now, I thought about that, what Lorraine has said in the Outer Banks. You said something about where your treasure is, and you take your, you were talking about the offering, you take your, where your treasure is, where the money is, if you give God what you said, what you value in the earth, meaning our money, he'll give us the treasures of heaven, what he values. So look, why did Jesus go stand there in the midst where their offerings are? See, because that's where their heart was. He said, I'm gonna meet you where your heart really is, where your treasure really is. I'm gonna come and stand in your courts where your offerings is. Yet no one sees him because his hour has not yet come. They were trying to plot. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? You see the difference. I'll keep going back and forth. You see the contrast between above and beneath? The language barrier. Remember when Pastor Jerry talked about going beyond? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Our whole mentality has to get off this earth. How clear God has to be to us as his children that we do not belong to this world. We have to understand that, look, I'm from above, and because I'm from above, that means everything I have access to is because of heaven. So when I got home yesterday, I was going to lay down because I was feeling a lot of pain in my body. I don't know what it was. And I was like, Lord, you know, I kept thinking about this light. And I kept thinking about the light, and I kept thinking about where I was from. I said, I know I'm from heaven. I know I'm from heaven. But I kept thinking about the light. I said, this light shines so bright that it exposes everything that's not like him. So in the midst of this, I don't know if I was in a body, out of body, dream, vision. I don't know what it was. I wish I was a dream like Shelly be having. But I knew I wasn't where I was. But at the same time, I felt so much at peace. And I said to myself, I said, you know, because of this light, I can get healed from this pain. Right? And I'm telling you, I'm standing here. I felt something just come all over my body, through my whole body. And I was like, first I said, I ain't going to move because I said, maybe it just went away for a little bit. You know, maybe that jake just went away. So I want to keep it right here, right? But then I said, no, the light kept shining, right? I kept seeing the light. So I was like, man, I still see the light. This light, this thing is bright. So then I start moving around, and I felt no more pain. And I said, oh, man. Now, let me tell you how quick we come back down to below. I said, oh, man, I could have asked him to heal my finger, my ear, take my eye so I could see better. I should have did all of that when I was up there. That's how quick this thing could flip on you. Because we have to get used to what you said, Dee, our mother language. What is that thing you say? Mother tongue. We have to get used to where we came from. We have to get used to, because see, we done been so earthly for so long. We got this stitch on us that we're stinking up the place. So now God said, when I bring you up, you have to get used to where you came from. We are not of this world. I don't care what nobody tell us or tell you. Don't accept the fact that, you know, you got to be, you can't be no earth, heavenly, how that thing go? You know, earthly good. You're so super spiritual, you know, earthly good because you're heavenly mind. Yeah, that's it. That's what I was saying. So we get caught up with this thing because we'll let somebody, just like the Pharisees, we'll let somebody try to talk us out of what we belong. Heavenly minded. Supposed to be. That's our true DNA. It's heavenly minded. Our thoughts should be heavenly. Our walk should be heavenly. Our talk should be heavenly. Our mood should be heavenly. Our love for one another should be heavenly. How I treat my wife should be heavenly. Not of this world. The way I walk at my job should be heavenly. Yeah. Yeah. We're not there just to get a paycheck. That job is just a costume that you put on to get into the location so you can demonstrate heaven on earth. Oh, it takes some time to get this to work this stuff out of us. It's a battle. But that's the language of heaven, that once it sets on the inside of us, it changes everything in us. So that's the hunger and thirst after righteousness. So when I recognize that I am from above and not beneath. So I have to keep telling myself that. God, revealed to me by your spirit. Because that's why he said, I have to send the Holy Spirit to you. Why? To teach you all truth. Why? Because your mindset is still darkness. So he said, I'm going to work on your heart to change your heart. And if I get your heart straight, then you begin to see what I see. It's a different light. Give me verse 30. Now, this is how powerful this Jesus is, right? Now, this is what we have to catch. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. Now, you know what was really going on? It was going on back and forth with the Pharisees, right? He was talking to the Jews, and he was telling them where he's from, and he was telling them, you know, all this stuff that, you know, he was doing some teaching in this courtyard, and they was questioning him, trying to trick him so they could find a way to kill him. But because that light is different, right, because his light is different, did you know how he still dealt with them and the light still shined? And people still got saved. People still believed. Even in a turmoil when we might think it's a hard situation and you might not see your way through or the situation might be dim to you. that moment is might be the point when Jesus said, look, I'm going to shine a light. And I'm still, see, I'm talking to Shanique, but everybody else is getting converted. See, my boss is bothering me because I'm eating at that table. Everybody else is getting converted. See, what the enemy thought he got you, Jesus said, no, you from above, so I'm going to use this opportunity to bring in more disciples. But are you willing to stand here and go back and forth? Are you willing not to defend self in order for you to get gratification of what you want and how you want it? Are we willing to allow the light to shine inside of us? And because that light shines so bright, Jay, give me, is it 1 John? I think it's 1 John. No, give me John 12. That gives you John 12:32. Okay, look, John 12:35. Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of the light. That's what we become. We have our own light, right? Now we have our own personal light. Because, see, the light had to come and shine on us first. And once the light came, now when we became followers of him, now we have the light. We have the light inside of us that light can shine to somebody else. This is how you know and how we're going to continue to walk in the parts of I'm not from below, I'm from above. I'm from my Father's will. I'm all about what heaven is offering us right now. It's the things of heaven and not earth. Do you not love the world, nor the things in the world? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. Why do you think they said those three things? Is not from the Father. It's not from my daddy. But it's from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Today is the day that we have to live forever in the light of our Father. Our hunger and thirst have to be after the light. Know the fact that you're from above and not from beneath. Know that our meal is from heaven. Our table is set before us in heaven. The greater works is going to happen within us. We have to learn where our citizenship really lies. We have to be partakers of the heavenly realm. And know that we have authority from heaven because of our adoptedship into the Father's bosom, back to his bosom. That's why he created us, because he said, I created you in the image of in my likeness. Why? Because we are his children. that this is what we got to go from now on. Seeking his face, seeking his wisdom, and denouncing the fact that we are no longer earth dwellers. This thing is so powerful, man. I just love the fact that we get an opportunity to know where we're really from. And it's by his love, and it's by this light that he chose to show, to shine upon us, even in our weakest state or even in our darkness. He still decided to show us his light and said, no, I'm choosing you. I'm choosing you to come from out from below and come to above. That's it.
Praise Jesus. We have the opportunity to choose light and choose life. And I'm grateful that we have been presented that opportunity. Religion doesn't do this for you. Religion gives you rules and regulations. But the light, Jesus Christ, gives you a way to be partakers of who he is. And then you don't worry about the do's and the don'ts, because the do's and the don'ts take care of themselves. Light is revelation of who Jesus is. That's what Pastor Mike, when that light shined in my heart, I got a revelation of who Jesus is. And now that I have that revelation of the light that's from above, darkness is dispelled. I don't desire the darkness, the lust of my flesh, the lust of my eye, and the pride of life. I don't desire those things anymore. I don't walk in those things, because light is so powerful. When you know when you have light, because there's another scripture, Mike, that says, and the light cannot, I believe that's in 1 John, cannot comprehend the darkness. Light can't overtake darkness. So when the light of Christ is really born down on the inside of you, it overtakes the darkness. It dispels anything that's not from above. Because all that's from above is who Christ is. And when he came into this earth, he came in to walk as a human people, a human man, to let us know that in this flesh, heaven can dwell, because he was a heavenly man, even though he walked in the flesh. So we can be heavenly people now. We don't have to wait to die to go to heaven. I can partake of what heaven is like. The sweetness, the joy, the love, the peace, the provision, the contentment, everything that's not of this world. See, in this world, frustration, anger, anxiety, unbelief, doubt, so much stuff that's of this world that we don't have to partake of. We don't have to partake of it. Pastor, I don't have to partake of that. I don't have to, Rocky. I don't have to walk. He just gave us the example of revelation he had, that God can lift him. Light lifted him right up out of anxiety. When he would start thinking about the job, took him right up out of anxiety, because that was what was beating up against his body, causing his body to be in despair. But heaven took him up. Heaven can lift us up, right, Christian Davis? Heaven lifts us up. You know when you've been born again. You know when Christ is on the inside of you. When that person that's been just dogging you out, I mean dogging you, Stan, calling you everything but a child of God, and the more he dog you, the happier you get, the more joy you get, the more peace. Now you got light, because Jesus Christ is light. On the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So forgiveness is a part of that light. And that revelation of Christ, likeness, we are being changed into his likeness. Paul said we can even take on the very divine nature of Christ. And that's what's happening to us, y'all. I am no longer Geraldine. Oh, my God. Tina, am I Geraldine? That's a wonderful thing. I get joy when I don't act like I used to act. That's when I know light. I'm not a 20-watt bulb now. I'm gone up to maybe a 60-watt bulb. See, the light gets brighter and brighter. I'm not completely there yet. I'm not that illumination that when I come in here, my face glows. But we're getting there. Because as we stay in his presence, Cheryl and I were somewhere, and do you mind me sharing the pedicure? My daughter took me to get my foot done. My toes, don't they look pretty, y'all? I didn't have my shoes off for that purpose. I didn't even know it was going that way. But anyway, the lady that was doing her feet, I think she recognized her voice. And so she said, "Do I know you? You been here before?" And Cheryl said, "Yes, I used to come a lot." Then she remembered who Cheryl was. She looked at her. She said, "You're different." Cheryl said she hadn't seen her in a year. She said, "You're different. You changed. You're younger. What happened to you?" This is the lady doing her toes. Oh, when the change starts happening, Tim, when the change starts happening, you don't have to go around and tell people. All you have to do is let the light be light. Let the light be light. Just let the light shine. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to make excuses for yourself. Even when you mess up, the light's still going to shine. We make mistakes, and the light shines. Yesterday, when we took that exit, so I could stretch, because I was supposed to stretch every hour, but that wasn't happening. Because I didn't want to be a pain. So I said, "Pastor, I'm going to have to stretch." So he said, "Okay, we're going to get off on this exit." So we got off on the exit. Jesus. See, you got to know when the light is there. And Raquel is now, Pastor was leading us, and Rocky was behind. I think it was Dre, then you, and then Mike. So when we got off on the exit, all of a sudden, Rocky's in front of us. And it's not a two-lane exit. How did Rocky know to get off on that exit? See, y'all, we don't live in a coincidental. We live in a God-directed life. God directed her to get off on that exit because he knew the rest of us was going to get off on that exit because that was the exit that Pastor had chosen. See, when the light guides you, you don't have to worry about making mistakes. You don't have to worry about getting off on the wrong exit. And it was God directed. It was light. It was light. It was light. There was light directed. So even when we think we've made a mistake or we made the wrong turn or if we got off on the wrong exit, we don't have to, you know, get all frustrated because the light's going to take care of it, Tim. The light's going to come and smack darkness back and say, "Tim, need to get through here. This needs to happen. This right here needs to happen right here." And light's going to make sure it happens. Because light's going to take over darkness, y'all. And darkness is just anything that's not of the will of the Father. If it's not the Father's will, because what Jesus said, if you know light, you know the Father. If you know Jesus, who is light and life, you know the Father. And so we don't have to worry about making mistakes, do we, Rob? We can just walk. Because he's going to get us where light's going to take us where we need to be. That's what yesterday was that thing blessed me. Light's going to take us where we need to be. Even when we don't know that's where we need to be. We don't even know that that's where we're supposed to be staying. But light's going to make sure we get there. Right. So we can trust the light. We can relax. and live in the light of heaven and in the life, L-I-F-E, of heaven. I am a new person. I'm never coming down. When we've heard people say, you'll never be the same again. Oh, we change, y'all. Oh, Shanique, Nikki look different. She looked like she's a heavenly woman, a heavenly creature that's got light beaming up out of the side of her. Courtney wasn't even down in Outer Banks and partaking of the light. All Pastor talked about was resurrection and what resurrection life does and how resurrection life takes you over. And resurrection, Jesus Christ is resurrection. Not only is he light, L-I-G-H-T, he is the resurrection, L-I-F-E. Life. I don't live in this world because of his resurrection power inside of me lifts me up out of that old nasty attitude that I used to have and that old sharp tongue. Isn't that right, Ms. Nida? We don't think like we used to think. I don't think evil. I don't think Rob don't like me. Rob loved me. Change your mind. Resurrection. I'm up in my mansion. Rob, I want to jump up in that chair. I've been lifted up into my new mansion. I've got a place in heaven. And now, change your address, y'all. Change your address, Tim. Find out what your heavenly abode is. Where's your mansion in heaven? What street do you live on? Thank you, Jesus Boulevard, Glory Lane, Hallelujah Road. Bless Jesus Circle. Come on, get your heavenly address. I'm saying it sounds funny, but get your heavenly address. It's got to become a reality. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I don't live in this world anymore. I got back to 6000 Brook Road, apartment 324 yesterday evening. I said, I don't belong here. I don't belong here, Derek. It was hard. It was hard to be. Normally, you know, you said, ain't no place like home. It is no place like home as long as it's in the heavenlies. The real home. No place. Now I understand, B, why certain movies, and I'm not a whole movie teen, and I don't do a lot of movie things, but certain things catches my spirit. Like Star Trek, beam me up, Jesus. Man, I love that part. I don't want no other part of the movie until I hear Captain Kirk say, beam me up, Scotty. I said, love that, Tim. Why? Because there was something in me, something down on the inside knew that I wasn't a part of this world. Something new. E.T. go home. I don't know nothing else about the movie. Y'all can't put my hide on the chopping block. I can't tell you nothing else about the movie. All I can tell you about is the part when he said, E.T. go home. Something in there said, Pastor Jerry got to go home. There's something burning. Those things, they're Latin. It's a whole new world. I mean, certain things just would catch me. It's a new creation. Somehow I knew. Deep down on the inside. And until you get that knowing, you'll settle for this. When I left my old church, my pastor said, what you looking for, Pat, Sister Dickens? And I don't know. I'm just crying. I don't know. I don't know what I'm looking for. He said, I know I preached a choir song. What in the world could you be looking for? I was looking for that whole new world. I was looking for my home in the heavenlies. I was looking for light. And life and resurrection. I didn't know it at the time. I couldn't name it. But that's what I was looking for. And that's why I think people do drugs and all this kind of become alcoholics and stuff. They're trying to satisfy something that nothing in this world is going to put its hands on. I don't care how much you do it. How much SUX you have. I don't care how much you have. I'm not going there, Rocky. I know, Rocky. I know. But y'all with me, right? Y'all know. Gotta have a husband. A husband not gonna do it. husband, like, this one, these two bless me. I'm like, you know, they gonna get married, but they just walking around here like, he ain't nothing. I'm serious. I worked with her every day. He ain't nothing. And he walking around here saying, she ain't nothing. They get married on a Saturday. He says, I'm not going nowhere with her. I'm not going with her tonight. I've got to let her know that you belong to heaven. You're still heavens. And I'm still heavens. Man, that thing blessed me. That blessed me. Anybody else? Oh, we'd have took off going. Because we want that fulfillment of something that can't fulfill you. See, their fulfillment was somewhere else already fulfilled. They already had something that the world couldn't offer. They had something that each other couldn't offer. But God just brought them together to let them have a little deeper joy while they in the heavenlies. But see, we put so much stock on this worldly stuff. What the world said it ought to be. How the world said it's supposed to happen. Even how they got married and their wedding. And they kept saying, we don't want it to be the world's way. And it wasn't. That thing blessed me. It wasn't the way the world would say. They are examples to us. God give us living examples of how to walk in the light in revelation life. Revelation is out of this world. He lifts us up, Courtney, out of this world. And he brings out of us stuff that we don't even know in us. See, we can tell the creation working in Courtney. The Supreme, Pastor call it the Supreme Court. There's a new life in each one of us, Cheryl. What we're going to see from each other going to astound our own selves in each other. Because something has been imparted into us. A new world. It's real, y'all. I text Pastor last night. I said, this thing is real. My God is real. When I got to 6,000 and I realized this is not it. It's a nice little stopping place. Nice little rest off. Like a rest stop, but I belong somewhere else. And like Pastor Mike, and if the more you desire it, the more you're going to get lifted up to it. The more you'll have experience in that realm. But this whole place here has a new atmosphere, is under a new order. It's under new creation. So we thank God for each and every one of you coming. Oh, dreams, revelations, anyone have anything to share? Cheryl.
Yesterday while sitting on the roof of the house, the Lord said, God is faithful. He takes the foolish things to confound the wise. Be still and know that you may see on the outside, what you may see on the outside is just a costume to protect the kingdom that I suffered for. Why are you choosing this way when you were birthed it? It is only my breath that is allowing you to live. My breath only.
You're short, okay.
Short. Good morning. Welcome back, beautiful people. People, are we there? We are there in this week past. I might not be with you all, but I was with you all in spirit. My daughter reminded me of that, so it took off with the morning glory. Yeah. I'm quite sure you all heard about it. But in this morning glory, it's still blooming, and God created this out of nowhere in my backyard. Mm-hmm. Just woke up. It's still growing. Mm. And he's telling me every day this week, you go in the closet and you pray for PWM. I pray every day. Pastor, the revelation that's going to come higher than he expects. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pastor Geraldine has already paved way with him. It's another person that God told me that is coming with you two. Mm. He has already picked the person out. I don't know who it is, but you do.
Praise Jesus.
You Amen. Do. But the love is there.
Yes, the love is there. That we're all predestined. I'm glad she said picked out, because we've all been chosen. We all have been chosen. Don't despise your choosing. What a privilege to be chosen by the Father. Man, to be Mrs. Surratt is one thing, Rainey, but to be chosen by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Almighty One, the Creator, that is awesome. That is so, so, so awesome. We've all been created and predestined to partake in this heavenly realm, to live in this heavenly glory. So we're going to stay there, right? We're not. And if you see me slipping, if I say something that's worldly and contrary to, Pastor Jerry, come on back up. We're gonna keep each other up, Mark. I'm gonna keep you up, Shanique. I'm gonna keep you up, Pastor Ross. And I want y'all to keep. We can't. Like Pastor said, it's like the helium. You're pumping that helium, you know. And so when you stop pumping, the helium kind of starts go down. So we're going to keep pumping and going up. The Holy Spirit's going to keep pushing us upward. He's going to keep pushing us upward. We not stop. This is not over. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning, because we just realized that we entered into a new order, a new realm, a new dispensation. I mean, we there. We there, Rainey, L Train. We getting there. We getting there. Yes, ma'am. Lilla.
I was seriously afraid, and it shook me up and woke me up so bad that I woke up this morning and had to make sure that it did not happen. You have them dreams where it's so real that it scared you so bad that you got to check your pulse and make sure that you. It was about Pastor Jerry, and she was on this trip that y'all went on, but she gave me a card that had access to her house. Mm. And it petrified me, because in the dream I was so distracted that I gave someone permission to go to her house and didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And when they went to her house, they destroyed it. Mm-hmm. And it was people that I knew, but I didn't know. And when she came back to me, she didn't have a smirk, but it was a smile on her face. And she said, come on, have a seat, because now you got to pay the price for the mistake that you made. And I'm like, what you talking about, lady? She said, you still have the card, but you gave them permission to go in. And when she opened the door, I was like, oh, my God, the damage that they did. She said, now you have to pay the price for the damage. And I said, wait a minute, Pastor Jerry. I wasn't here. She said, check the camera. Your spirit was. She said, you wasn't physically here, but your spirit man let them come. And I woke up out of the bed. I said, I got to call Pastor Jerry. What did I do? Did I let somebody in her house while she was gone? I had to sit there and go back over the last 7 days. And like, did I talk about her? Did I speak ill about her? Did I say something? Did I speak about the church? And the Lord said, be careful of who you give access to, because you're distracted. And you agree to stuff because you're just sitting there quiet and you nodding, or you're on the phone and you're like, go ahead. And you giving people access to stuff. And don't even realize it. But it was crazy, because she had all of this stuff lined up for me to give to the children in ministry. All of this Pete the Cat stuff, all of this stuff. And Tina was like, now you cut off. You can't even come in. I can't even tell you where the rest of the storage is, because, and Tina said it. She was standing there like a guard over the door. She was like, so I could see the little Pete the Cat stuff that I'm supposed to give to the children, but everything else was in this huge storage. And Tina said, I can't even let you in there. Wow. So I was like, okay,
something
Lord.
Something to that. Let's pray about that one. Let's pray about how to guard our spirits. I do have a storage. I mean, there's too much in that dream that's real. Jesus. There's too much in it that's real. That's real. So we're going to pray for the interpretation of it and what it really, really means. And God's going to give it to us. Somebody's going to come back with, you know, that Lilla shared with us what it means. Yes, ma'am.
I
I don't have a dream, but I did wanted to share something. Oh, and Lilith, there is something in the spirit to that dream, and God will give us the true fulfillment of it. He will, because Mom is very precocious about who she lets in her house or who she gives a key to. So it's something to that, you know. So we just have to thank God for the warning and be open to receive the revelation of it. This is real short. This is something about myself. And I'm sitting over here chuckling. I was like, well, I'm not going to share it. But I felt the Lord kind of pushing me because I don't know who could be blessed from it. But the light shining and lifting us. Yesterday when we got back, I was just so physically overwhelmed when we got back. And my feet hurt so bad, I could barely walk on them. But I didn't want anybody to know, and I didn't want to complain about it. And so anyway, my sister gives me an earful that my kids and my grandkids are already at my house. And I said, Lord, you know that's not what I wanted. Lord, no, anybody that know me know I love my children and my grandchildren. But I did not want to see them yesterday. I wanted to go home and get in my bed and be left alone. And I'm on the way home, I'm in the car. Now, who do I get on? Do I get on Derek for this? Do I get on Leah for this? Who do I get on? And the Lord said to me, just as plain in that car, you're not going to get on anybody. You're going to stay in the capital. You're going to stay in the heavenlies. And I said, okay, Lord. I said, I'm going to stay lifted. I said, but I need your help. I needed his help. I was hurting. And so I get home. I sat in the first chair by the door. And the grandkids at first just came running over and jumping on me. And I'm hurting. I'm like, oh, God, I'm hurting so bad. And they're jumping all over me. And the Lord said, enjoy it. You know, give gratitude for what you are looking at and receiving. And so I just began to thank God. I said, okay, God, thank you. I'm grateful for my grandchildren. I'm thankful for my children. And then my daughter and I, we have been having some hiccups in the road. And she said to me, I just wanted to come over and cook you dinner for your first day back. And, you know, that really touched, it really blessed my heart. So she cooked dinner, and I played with the grandkids. And then my husband was sitting there just staring at me. And I'm like, what are you looking at? So anyway, long story short, I thank God that eventually the pain subsided and the tiredness, you know, didn't completely go away. But I had enough strength to enjoy the evening. And so by the time they left and I got in the bed and everything, only thing I could do was just give God gratitude and thanksgiving. And I said, okay, Lord, what you going to do tomorrow, I'm prepared for, I'm ready for, and I want to continue to be lifted. I want that light to continue to shine.
Amen. For some reason, I've heard just since that, not so much just for us, but even for our listening audience, the Lord saying, why sit ye here till you die? We just see along that for a moment. As we've heard about the light, and I just thank God for shining his light and allowing the light of his life to permeate our lives, that we're continually being elevated and ascending into the heavenlies. Gracious Father, we thank you for our ascension daily, oh God, for teaching us not only that we have to wait to go to heaven, oh God, but thank you for the heavenly life each and every day, oh God. Father, we thank you for the opening of our eyes to see, oh God, not just naturally, but God, the things that you have in store for us day by day. We thank you for the manna that you continually make provision that we eat from daily, oh God, because you said that it's daily that you load us with your benefits, oh God. And Father, now we understand that those benefits go and exceed beyond just material gain, oh God. But Father, when we partake and we eat
of the cup of suffering and long suffering and forgiveness, oh God, that there are benefits to those things, oh God, because you're establishing more and more of your nature, of the kingdom nature within us, oh God. And Father, that those things no longer become of a burden to us, oh God. But Father, as we are created, as we begin to walk and partake and live in your nature, oh God, Father, that it teaches us how to endure hardness in these times as a good soldier. So we thank you for your steadfastness and your loving kindness toward us, oh God. We thank you for making us and allowing us to be the new creation, oh God. We thank you for the opportunity of having the holy encounters and visitation while there at the Outer Banks, oh God, but that it doesn't just end there, oh God, but now we come back, oh God, and as Pastor Jerry said, that we realize that our residence has changed, oh God, that we no longer just reside on the earthly boulevard, oh God, but our new residence, oh God, each day is living in the kingdom and existing in the place of the heavenlies, oh God. Someone shared with me the other day is that while we were in the Outer Banks, there were four chairs that sat before the fireplace. Typically, Pastor Jerry and myself sat there. But she said when she looked up and she asked the Lord, there are four chairs there. She said she felt and understood them to be one for the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But she said, but what is the fourth chair? And he said, that's you all. That's you. Because you're seated with me in heavenly places. So, God, we thank you for allowing us to be that fourth chair there, God. And it doesn't just end there, but we're seated with you in heavenly places. And you allow us to experience and see that. And even the ordering as we left the boulevard and shared about Rocky, somehow how that, and the thing I don't think we understand, it wasn't just your typical exit where you see restaurant. There was a sign to say that this is where the restaurants and, you know, all those things. There was nothing there. Matter of fact, when we took the exit, when we got off, it was almost like we had to go an extension of a mile. There were no signs saying anything about restrooms or anything. We followed a long road, but as Pastor Jerry said, how did we end up making the connection to meet up with Rocky? It was supernaturally done to let us know that we're guided by the light, that in God, like you said, where what we're experiencing, there are no mistakes in God because he orders and he orchestrates our lives and our footsteps. So, God, we thank you for all that we're encountering and we are experiencing, that we are never want to leave or lose what you've given us, oh God. So teach us day by day how to walk it out, to live it out, oh God. And if perhaps when we stumble and fall, oh God, that by your grace and by your love and your mercy, that you allow us to get back up and get back on the road, oh God, because you're not looking to just to condemn us every time, oh God, that there's, you know, we fall short, oh God. But we're learning in this how to daily and step by step to walk and live in you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for our leadership, our apostle, and all that you're doing in the leadership, oh God, and for this people that you've called out. We bless you. We give you glory and honor, oh God, Father, that we will never leave and depart from your presence. We give you glory and honor. We bless your holy name. Thank you for CRCA, oh God, and for even allowing us to come back and experience what had been done by Miss Courtney, oh God. It just goes to show you that the extension, oh God, Father, that there's no place, Jesus said that there's no place that you can go that you're not. And so we thank you, oh God, for the extension of, while we were in Outer Banks, that still you were working mightily here, right here. We bless you and we give you glory and honor for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.